Not in Proverbs chapter 1, I'd ask you to turn there as we look at those intro verses, the prologue to the Proverbs in chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. As we start a new series looking at the wisdom that God wants to give us in Jesus Christ, and I'm titling the series Uncommon Sense, because sometimes what we think of common sense isn't so common in the world today. And of course, God's wisdom is more than just common sense. It's His Word, it's His truth, but He gives it to us in a way in which we can use it in life today to navigate the trials of life. T.S. Eliot said, "Where is the life we've lost in living? Where is the wisdom we've lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we've lost in information?" And isn't that true today in the world where there's so much information overload age, but yet there's very little wisdom? But we don't need more information. We don't need to be able to figure out how all the information works necessarily. We need God's wisdom to cut through all of that. And we need that to replace all of the information. So there's a couple key things I'm going to look at today in these opening verses as we begin in Proverbs that will help us as we go through and look at the practical wisdom, very practical wisdom in this book. Number one is underline the ultimate value of wisdom and the fear of God as we begin. And we see it in verse 7 there. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, this, of course, is the key verse, if you know anything about the book of Proverbs, of the entire book, and it's essential that we understand it as we go into this great book of wisdom. Hebrew poetry is written in parallel form, and there's an A line always in Hebrew poetry: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." But then there's a B line: "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And the B line always clarifies the A line. That's the way it works. I remember being in a restaurant here in town in Albany when I first moved here. The guy heard my accent, and we started talking about it, and it came to the point of me telling him why I had come to Australia to be a pastor. I was a Christian. Well, he then told me he was an atheist, and he could see the value of Christian values and truth, but he didn't believe in God. And in the end, he said, "It's amazing to me how a seemingly intelligent man like yourself could believe in God." I said, "Mate, have you thought about what you're saying here? That there's a God, has to be a God of wisdom behind the design that you see in this world, the intricate details of the human body, the beauty of a place like Albany itself." I was trying to get him, of course, to think about the fact of God's wisdom alone that has to be behind all that we see in this world. And yet somehow he thought he could have all the truths of morality or the good things that are in life without a source behind it. Of course, that's impossible. What is the fear of God? Because he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's recognizing that life is designed by someone other than me. It's living by that fact that I know there's a God and it's not me. Proverbs 9:10 emphasizes the same truth. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord, folks, is recognizing the fact that you live in God's world, and therefore the rules for happiness and pain are already established. Right at the outset, Solomon reminds us that true biblical wisdom begins with and must continue with the fear of the Lord, with this humility and mindset. This isn't about a terror of God, but an awe of Him, seeing Him as so great in comparison to anything else, ourselves included, or any knowledge or understanding of life that we might think we have. Someone wrote, "It's not a guilty, oh no, here comes God and I'm in trouble, but the fear of God is an openness to Him for a believer, eagerness to please God, a humility to be instructed by God." Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." I remember talking with one of my kids when they were little, I think it was McKenna, about how God numbers the hair on everybody's head, and He knows. And for some people that's easier than others. But she said, "Well, now, Dad, how can He know everyone's?" And I said, "Well, that's what makes God, God. C.S. Lewis said, in God you come against something which is in every respect immeasurably superior to yourself. Unless you know God that way, and yourself is nothing in comparison, you won't know God at all. And therefore you won't grow in wisdom. He said, a proud man is always looking down on things and others in life. And as long as you're looking down on them in pride, you can't look up. And you won't find where you can only find wisdom. This is again and again, folks, what the Bible says, the very foundation of wisdom is a healthy reverence for God. The fear of the Lord, it's the same meaning, those words, reverence and fear. And it means that we love what He loves more and more. We see that things from His perspective, and we want to do things His way more and more. And we hate the things that He hates. The fear of the Lord means that more and more I deeply appreciate who He is and what He says. When we fear God, then we realize more and more that we're not the measure of all things. In fact, we're being measured instead. We're not the center of our universe. But what Proverbs does is it takes even very minute parts of our lives and everyday affairs and says, okay, God is the center of the whole universe, but is He at the center of that part of your life in these everyday practical areas? And that's the way that the only way we're going to be able to live it out effectively is with His wisdom. And that's how you begin the journey of wisdom. And that's how you continue on. The fear of the Lord is both the doorway to wisdom, the only way in, and it's the pathway. It's the new beginning and it never ends. Verse 7 says that what your ABCs are to reading Shakespeare, what playing the scales are to performing Bach, what 2 plus 2 equals 4 is to you math whizzes to doing calculus, the fear of the Lord is to wisdom. We start there and you can't ever leave it behind. Somebody said wisdom comes with time. Yes, but it is not developed from within. It has to come from outside of us. We can look and think, well, this person's kind of born with these abilities and things, but we're not talking about abilities. We're talking about wisdom. It's not like, you know, you've got these raw materials that somebody's born with and then somehow it comes out. No, Proverb presents wisdom is something that we go out searching for like a treasure that we can only find from God. It comes from above. We don't have it within ourselves. It's found in God alone. And Proverbs is written to teach us how we find that wisdom so that we'll learn skill and how to be wise. Now up front, Proverbs tells us that this is the wisdom of Solomon. You notice that? The son of David. And this shows us that this is no ordinary wisdom, okay? These are not just good, nice sayings that are helpful in life. This is not just common sense. Of course, this is God's Word. The Proverbs come from God, and they fit in the flow of biblical history that leads to Jesus Christ and our salvation. Someone wrote this, "We're born proud, defensive, sinful. It makes us whiny and suspicious and unsatisfiable. We can squander the opportunities we have in life. But when we are reborn through the grace that is in Jesus Christ, well, then it is that we're able to then listen to our wise counselor. We're able to grow in wisdom. It's only through Jesus Christ, who is wisdom, that we can truly grow in a fear of the Lord and apply wisdom. And we've got to see that before we start to actually look at the Proverbs in this series. I like the story of this logic course at a major university. The professor made an unusual offer to his students. You might have heard the story. They were preparing for their final exam. And he said, you can bring to class on the day of the exam as much info as you want, and you can fit on one piece of paper. So they're all trying to work through the week and get all of this stuff on their normal size piece of paper, all the formulas and everything they could do. But when the test came, one student walked into class, put a piece of notebook paper on the floor, and you know what he did? He had an advanced logic student stand on that piece of paper. This is what Proverbs and the Bible says ultimately about wisdom. It's not a bunch of principles ultimately, though yes, that is true. There's principles and truth. It's in a person. It's in God. It's in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 30, 1:30 to 31 says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." We'll see in Colossians 2:3 as we get into that series soon, "In Christ whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Solomon says, wisdom will lead us to gain knowledge and good truth and thoughts. It's not that knowledge and good thoughts will lead us to wisdom. Wisdom is only in the person of Jesus Christ. As we trust in Him and know the grace He gives us and experience who He is, then we'll have the power, and alone through that, to grow in wisdom and to make wise decisions and to be able to take in wisdom and grow in understanding more of God's wisdom. There's only one kind of wisdom that leads us to live successfully as Christians in the way that God wants, that pleases the Lord, and that's the wisdom that He gives us in Himself and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Wisdom is found in a person, in God, who He's revealed Himself fully in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But folks, we need to be grateful that we've got a book like Proverbs, because it's good news. It's about grace. At the heart of it is the gospel. Why? Because in it we see God reaching down to sinful people saved by grace, giving us wisdom in our ignorance, hope even in our failures. It's about grace for sinful people who are called to go through this life with complexities and intricacies. We see in God's wisdom in Christ, God coming to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who is Himself God's wisdom personified, incarnate. And this book is about God Himself coming to us as our coach, our counselor, the one who understands it all. Jesus walked this earth and navigated in life Himself perfectly. We've seen that in Hebrews. And He's able to help us in ways that nothing else can help us. Think about it. When you study Jesus' encounters with people who tried to outsmart Him, whoever did? Whoever cornered Jesus in debate, He was always one step ahead of everybody else, because He's God in the flesh, but He's wisdom and to us. And so that's what we need to remember. Jesus in Hebrews, we saw, is our priest and prophet. But in the book of Proverbs, He's more of practically our mentor. He's the greatest expert on you, God in the flesh. And He gives us wisdom in this Old Testament book to help us. And the fact is, God is wisdom, and Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and God, who is wisdom and made this world, can help us in whatever times we're in, whatever difficulties we feel we're in, or that things are too complicated. No, wisdom will cut through all of it. Jesus Christ is wisdom. God is above any time and culture, because He is truth, and He knows how to handle and navigate whatever His people may face. And God is ready and willing in Christ through the book of Proverbs to give us what we need if we'd only humble ourselves, see the value of His wisdom, fear Him — that's the beginning of wisdom, of course — and trust Him and walk with Him. He'll offer us and give us all that we need to make it through this life. The question is, do we really want wisdom? That's the first thing. Underline the value of wisdom and the fear of the Lord, and underscore that, live by that, and that's the only way we're going to be able to grow in wisdom. The second thing is to understand the goal of wisdom and what Proverbs is all about. And really, in these opening verses, you see that there are two main goals given in the prologue to Proverbs, summarized in verse 2 and broken down in the other verses. Verse 2 tells us there's deep character is the first goal, and straight thinking is the second goal. Deep character we see developed in verses 3 to 4. That's to know wisdom and instruction. Straight thinking, verse 6, is to understand the words of insight. We'll talk about that more later. But think about now, what is wisdom? Literally, the word means in the Hebrew, skill to live for God, to navigate successfully, to do His will, to avoid when we can, and minimize when we can't problems and navigate a successful life to grow in having a godly life, a beautiful life as much as possible in this world. Wisdom is about how best to find out through the maze of this world the will of God, the art of walking successfully for Him, to have a correct plan from God's perspective and gain the desired results. And no, that doesn't mean wisdom is about selfish ambitions that we see in some religions out there that are false. No, that's not it. It's not about you getting all that you want out of life like we see with some preachers that are out there today, that all they talk about is success your way, you know. That's not what we're talking about. But God does give us wisdom. He gives us the wisdom He made the world with to help us understand why life is as it is. It doesn't mean we'll be pain-free. Of course not. But He does want to help us be able to live and make it in this life and relationships in the best way, in a way that pleases Him, that honors Him, and that avoids a lot of the problems that people fall into. And that's why we have this book of 31 chapters about wisdom. I mean, haven't you noticed it true about truly godly, wise people that you respect? I mean, Solomon says here, wisdom involves righteousness, justice, fairness. These type of people who are really wise, if you ever notice, they're very humble. They don't really think they're all that wise. But they walk with God. And it doesn't mean they don't have pain and problems in life, no. But they're better, by God's wisdom, at the art of living and navigating and relating to people and dealing with troubles and coping and making life work the best we can while we're in this world. It's not by accident. It's from wisdom, from God. Now there's a number of wisdom books in the Bible. Ecclesiastes and Job are the two main other ones, and they're very important as well. And there's similarities between those books and the Proverbs wisdom literature. But they're very different. Proverbs stands alone. As one man said, these other are investigating why things are as they are. That's what Job and Ecclesiastes do. But Proverbs is different in more of the sense of being practical wisdom and showing us what we can do to get on in this life in a very puzzling world so we don't end up in disaster or others around us as well. Eric Lane said, whether we come to solve the problems aired in Ecclesiastes, we can still come to terms with the world as Christians the best that we can and live in it. We don't have to spend our lives wondering and waiting. We can live effectively, he says, in the real world. Proverbs aims to give us that grace and strength and insight and confidence, even in limitations that we have in this sinful world, because there will be problems and there'll be things we, of course, can't avoid. Now, the fact is, a book like Ecclesiastes is great. I love Ecclesiastes. We've done a series on it before. And it's great at digging at why this world is the way that it is. How do we make sense of the evil in the world? But that's not the main focus of Proverbs, though there might be a bit of that. Now, Proverbs is more about God making us streetwise, street savvy, if you will, giving us His truth in street clothes in ways that help us see and open our eyes and walk in confidence in the ways that please Him more and more, helping us be street smart. Proverbs is more direct, if you know much about this book, as we'll get into it, and to the point when it comes to wisdom and applying it. It helps us. There's no place, somebody said, in book that gives us more help with the practical living of day-to-day life in the Bible. The Proverbs are given to help us minimize the problems and know how to handle them God's way when we face them. I mean, as I read this somewhere, I thought it was a good illustration. Imagine the world like a raging torrent that once perplexed Solomon when he wrote Ecclesiastes. But imagine Proverbs like the stepping stones going across that raging torrent, that though we may feel the heat and the pain, yes, of the fire, we will, they help us get through as we think about and see God's perspective on how to deal with people, how to react to them, how to deal with conflict, how to deal with our emotions, how to deal with what to say, and what situations we'll face all through the Proverbs. It helps us in this fast-paced life to be wise, to not act foolishly, to slow down and reflect on who God is. That's what the Proverbs are meant to do. Why? Because if you've ever read them before, you've got to stop and think. They're mysterious sometimes, and it's hard. Some of them are clear, but to really apply it, you've got to reflect. You've got to stop, and you've got to walk in a fear of the Lord to grow in a humility and to get what God wants you to see. But God will help us do that as we get into this book. God will help us live out His will as He works through us in Jesus Christ. And we face everyday things in life. And that's what Proverbs is about. What kind of person should a person marry? Or what job should they take? How do they deal with trials? How do they deal with difficult people at work? Do you ignore them? How do you deal with your reactions? How should you speak to them? Proverbs deals a lot with our words. We'll see our communication. How do we say words that build others up? This is what Proverbs does. Verse 5 tells us that the wise person will acquire wise counsel. And this word is related to the word for a rope or a cord in Hebrew. You've heard the old saying, learning the ropes, showing them the ropes. I think it probably comes from this word root. In those days, ropes were used to steer a ship, and the sailor would pull on the ropes to steer the ship in the right course. And so the idea is that the one who's really humbly walking in a fear of God starts to see God's direction and will. He'll lead them in the right way. He'll help them steer and navigate through the storms of this life. Because wisdom is the ability, rooted in a deep reverence for God, to skillfully avoid and effectively face the obstacles so that we make it through effectively as we can in this world. Seeing things more God's way. Hearing what God is saying, even in the trials of this world. And having a motivation to walk in His truth. And to be obedient in the difficult times. We learn His truth. We grow to love His wisdom. And then we more and more, as He works through us, we live it out. God's wisdom isn't the same as your IQ, of course, or just intelligence. Yes, we have to have the knowledge. You've known people that have been straight A students probably, and they ran into all kinds of problems in life. They couldn't keep their jobs. They couldn't relate well to others. They didn't have a lot of friends. Why? Because they weren't wise. And folks, even as Christians, it is important and essential that we have solid doctrine. That's the foundation. Please don't misunderstand me. We have to. But people that have solid doctrine but don't have wisdom can still make a mess of their lives, mess of their churches, their families. I read about this businessman. He talked about how in his business it was going so well, but he couldn't get enough salespeople to help him in the job. But he said, I have to fire a lot of them because they're just so weird. He said, somebody asked him, what do you mean by weird, these employees? He said, well, they do dumb things. They shoot themselves in the foot. They don't show up on time. They don't call people waiting to hear from them. They don't charge fair prices. They don't treat people courteously or admit their mistakes. And they don't cooperate with their coworkers. And eventually, I just have to let them go. That's not having wisdom. I read this pastor that I used to like to listen to years ago, Tommy Nelson in America, who wrote a book on biblical success. I mean, he's not talking about this false health and wealth stuff. Real biblical success. And he said, I wrote it because I spent 25 years at the time, he said, in the pastorate working with Christians who are obviously educated, gifted, and orthodox, but yet they make a mess of their lives. Why? Because they're not growing in wisdom. He said they harvest tragedy and alienation and loneliness, and they end up sometimes being miserable 80-year-olds with empty, tragic lives. But I read about this other guy on the positive side of things. He said, time and time again, he said, I've seen the positive impact of pursuing wisdom. He said, I can think of a number of people who don't have dazzling talents or stellar credentials or charismatic personalities, but they nonetheless have risen to places of importance. They've gained responsibility and respect for one reason, because they handle themselves over a period of time wisely. Wisdom is seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. Are you growing in it? It's an attitude, it's an action, a skill. Wisdom is more than just brains or intelligence, of course, but it's more than just morals, though certainly it's built upon that idea. But wisdom is skill. It's competence and confidence as we grow in grace in Christ and see how life works, and we see it from God's perspective, and then we see the beauty of it and act in light of that. Somebody said, if we have love but not wisdom, we'll harm people with the best intentions. If we have courage but no wisdom, we'll blunder boldly. Truth but not wisdom. If we have truth but not wisdom, we'll make the gospel ugly to others. Wisdom is practical know-how that helps us know how to act and speak in different situations. And I remember when I was in school many years ago, in high school especially, you could cram a lot for a test, and then the next day, maybe even the next hour, let it all go out. You can get good at that in school sometimes, can't you? And you just study and cram it in. But Christ-like wisdom means we learn from God the right things. That's what matters, and we forget slowly. We want to let it sink in. Proverbs get to the point. That's what they do. They're focused statements. And when you get to chapter 10, to the end of the book, you see they're kind of the things of them are scattered all over the place. But they're meant to be a thing that encapsulates a truth and that we reflect on. And they can be studied together in everyday issues like money and children and your words and laziness and conflict and anger. And the amazing thing, though, about the Proverbs and how they work to make us wiser is they help us see ourselves and each other's from God's view. We see, for example, one example in the Proverbs, a man who's bright and cheerful first thing in the morning. He expects everybody else to be that way. A woman who's always popping next door for a tea and a chat. A shopper in the market who tricks someone into a bargain. We don't find Proverbs 27:14, a loud and cheerful greeting early in the morning will be taken as a curse in other parts of the Bible. But we know as we grow in wisdom that a well-intentioned but ill-timed greeting can backfire. And folks, God considers it worth us taking our time to understand it. That's why he gives us Proverbs. Yes, to point us to Jesus. Only Jesus can help us grow in wisdom. But to see how it relates to life. He cares about us understanding the massive truths of our existence, of creation, of salvation, of the end times, all of those things. And certainly Proverbs has some of that undergirding it as well. But the Lord also cares about the little details along the way. The things that can trip us up if we don't care and we don't want to grow wise. The things that can snag us in our relationship and be like little pebbles in our spiritual shoes that we avoid. And they're just like gray areas that even people who've been Christians for a long time, if they don't grow in wisdom, can find that those things get into their life and they don't grow in wisdom and it affects things so much in their life. God cares deeply about the little nuances of life that can make a big difference. And that's how the Proverbs work. That's where they hit us, dealing with the details and everyday relational encounters and choices that we all go through so that we grow in an experience of the wisdom of Jesus as we walk in the fear of the Lord, become like Jesus more effectively to live his way. See, what Proverbs do is they put us under the microscope and magnify those little blemishes that we might overlook that could really spoil our character and our relationships. They help us not to be clumsy Christians who fall into the landmines of this world around us that can cause us, even in things we might overlook where we are in relationships, blow up or hurt people with our words. The Proverbs develop wisdom in us, helping us deal with the minute, often issues of life that do matter to God. So we'll be shrewd. So we'll be aware of the dangers around us. And God will help us to live in his way, to live in his love and grace, and to live courageously for his will. And that's why the Proverbs are so helpful, because they provide us with these snapshots of real life, but the truth of what we need to see in God's character of truth and God's character of love. And they're his word. They're his truth. We need them. Proverbs, as one person said, is a true window into the world, into the way the world works to live for the Lord, the way God's world works. It's kind of like 3D movies. You know, if you try to watch the movie without the 3D glasses, it's just going to not make sense, is it? It's distorted. They used to have those 3D movies. Anyway, I guess they do it still some now. And sometimes people are like that. That's the way a lot of people, the problem is that they have a distorted view of life. Without God's wisdom, we don't see all that we really need to see. There's a picture, but we don't see what God wants us to see. We need a divine frame of reference to really see what's happening so we can handle it God's way. That's why God gives us wisdom in a book like Proverbs. What is a proverb? Proverb in the English language, of course, is a short, pithy statement that is memorable to the point. But for us as Christians, it has a practical punch of truth, God's word, in the Proverbs. Kitchen said, this commentator John Kitchen said, a proverb is a compactly constructed sentence packed with practical insight. It's a stubby sentence pregnant with meaning, he said. It's uni in a cup. It's wisdom you carry with you as you walk through life. I mean, small is not bad, is it? And this is the way we see with technology. Things are getting smaller and smaller with more and more inside of them. And this is the function of a proverb. You know, the difference between these modern proverbs of, you know, look before you leap or a stitch in time saves nine. Of course, this is God's word. And proverbs are God's word with his truth in them. And they help us grow in his eternal wisdom as we deal with life. Somebody said the immature is given through the proverb what normally only years of experience might give to the aged. The Hebrew noun proverb is related to a verb in Hebrew that means to represent or to be like. The proverbs say to us, isn't life like this? When we walk in the fear of the Lord and we study them, biblical proverbs give us more than common sense. I like what Ray Ortland said. He said, a proverb is a little model of reality, a little verbal representation of some daily aspect of life. And see, as we study proverbs, and you've got to do it on your own, not just in the sermons, but you do it on your own as well in addition to the sermons, and you turn that proverb over, and you think about the other proverbs, and you look at it from different angles and reflect on it and ask God to show you, he'll help you see and step in to the reality of what you could face before you step into it. We always say live and learn, but the proverbs tell us learn and then live. You know, the Wright brothers were one in the state that I'm from in North Carolina that in 1903 were the founders of flight. And it said that they worked ahead on this and they knew before they do it, they thought it would work because they had built a wind tunnel where they tested different wing designs before they risked their necks in actual flight. And the proverbs work like this in a sense. As we explore real life situations, we see what God says about it within the virtual reality of the proverb, whether it's emotions or how we deal with friends or be a good friend, our money, whatever it is, the real life scenarios practically that Christians face, we can see it ahead of time, see how to handle it. They're short too, enough to where they stick in our minds. God designed them that way, I believe, so we can reflect on them and chew on them and remember them. And we need to spend the time reading them. You know, there's 31 chapters. You can read a chapter every day and get through it in a month. Do it again the next month. See, we need these proverbs in this information overloaded world today. And we don't need to figure out all the information. We need the information replaced with God's wisdom. So as we close, here's three key areas that'll help us as we start out in this journey that we see in these opening verses. Number one is the importance of instruction and discipline. See it in verses 2 to 3, or verse 2 especially, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Somebody said, Proverbs will keep you on your toes, but in so doing will keep you on the path God has for you. It's profitable, but it's not comfortable. In other words, we've got to have instruction to grow in wisdom. There's discipline that is necessary. Not everyone is seeking after wisdom because it takes humility in receiving instruction. It takes getting in to God's word. It takes effort as God in his grace works through you, and you want to grow in wisdom, and I do, you have to study his word. These proverbs are designed to where you have to study them and reflect on them and slow down and understand what God is saying. So that's the only way we're going to grow in wisdom is through that humility. To be instructed. Number two thing is the importance of insight. We see in verse 4 and even verse 2 to understand the words of insight. Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Discretion, somebody said, is the ability of wisdom to protect us from harm so that we're not proceeding in life without a plan, without thinking it through, knowing what God says about it. Wisdom gives us, somebody said, the power to decide. It takes us from and saves us from the paralysis of analysis so that we know what God's calling us to do. We see it. He gives us insight. We're able to then make wise choices with confidence as we're motivated to do it. You know, a footy coach, he won't just go out on the pitch, obviously, without a plan to win, will he? No, he's going to think through the rules, the timing, how people think and work, and strategy for that specific time. And life, in a greater sense, is like this. That's what the word prudence means here. It's as we grow in the fear of the Lord and know God's will and study it, we can have more of a cleverness and a shrewdness to be able to deal with things in life. And it's a good kind of cunning. Helps us live faithfully for the Lord. It's a shrewdness and ability God gives even to the simple as they walk in humility more and more. It's kind of like, you know, Sherlock Holmes. The difference between him and Watson. Sherlock Holmes would walk in, take one look at the room and see about 20 things that are in there. But Watson, you know, it didn't seem like he could really get it. Sherlock Holmes would say, "Elementary, my dear." But, you know, Sherlock Holmes saw it. He had insight. God wants to give us insight to the way He wants us to live in this world from His wisdom so that more and more we're able to see that and recognize the true nature of the situations we're in and be able to act according to God's perspective. Kitchen again says this is wise behavior. Discernment means to distinguish between two things as we see it from God's view. And that's what we do as we grow in wisdom. We're able to make those choices and be motivated to make those choices to live out life according to God's word as we grow in grace in Christ. Discernment is the path to this understanding, the ability to look at the two choices and options, the fork in the road, and see it the way God does, to size up the situation as God does, and more act with confidence and motivation the way God wants us to. And God wants us to give us that wisdom. Proverbs cut through the fog of human reasoning and throw the spotlight, one man said, upon the given situation that we're in. And the idea of understanding, that infers to the ability to discern between two options, but most of all, to see why that option is God's way. That's important. Sometimes we might think we have an idea of what we need to do, but we've not understood what's really behind it and why it's God's will. But as we grow in wisdom, He gives us this. This is a part of wisdom, discernment, understanding, prudence. And the final thing is increase, the importance of increase and growing. Verse 5 to 6, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. See, the simple here are not being told to be evil or being said that they're sinful and evil, but untaught. Young in the faith, and they can grow and they can learn. But so can the wise continue to grow wiser. Let the wise hear an increase in learning and gain guidance. As we said, nobody is born wise. We don't talk about wise babies. Wisdom is something from the outside that comes from God alone. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But we're to grow in this. And the word here literally means to seize, to take, to gain in an increase in the ability to grasp God's wisdom. We've got to grow in that way as we walk in humility so that we can continue to take in the truth of His Word. Especially here we're talking about His wisdom. And God will help us to walk with Him. And again, as we close in this intro part, be reminded, as we said earlier, it's only by God's grace that we're able to grow in wisdom. Jesus Christ is our wisdom. Wisdom is ultimately in a person, but God gives us great practical wisdom. We're going to see as we go through this book of Proverbs, the Old Testament book of wisdom. He wants us to be able to walk wisely for Him in our relationships. It doesn't mean we'll have no struggles or trials, of course, but that it'll help us to navigate, help us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's close in prayer as we we finish today. Let's pray.